translation per and purport by Srila Prabhupada, the key jai. Simultaneously, the personality of Godhead enjoyed life in the city of Dwaraka, strictly in conformity with the Vedic customs of society. He was situated in detachment and knowledge, as enunciated by the Sankhya system of philosophy. Purport. While Maharaj Yudhisthira was the emperor of the earth, Lord Sri Krishna was the king of Dwaraka and was known as Dwarkadish. Like other subordinate kings, he was under the regime of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Although Lord Krishna is a supreme emperor of the entire creation, while he was on this earth, he never violated the principles of the Vedic injunctions because they are the guide for human life. Regulated human life according to the Vedic principles, which are based on the system of knowledge called Sankhya philosophy, is a real way of enjoyment of necessities of life. Without such knowledge, detachment and custom, the so-called human civilization is no more than an animal society of eat, drink, be merry, and enjoy. The Lord was acting freely as he willed, yet by his practical example, he taught not to lead a life which goes against the principles of detachment and knowledge. Attainment of knowledge and detachment are very elaborately discussed in the Sankhya philosophy. That is the real perfection of life. Knowledge means to know that the mission of human life is to end all miseries of material existence, and that in spite of having to fulfill the bodily necessities in a regulated way, one must be detached from such animal life. Fulfilling the demands of the body is animal life, and fulfilling the mission of the spirit soul is the human mission. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Mitam Tam Sajivam Sadavaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vitakashvitamsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Kaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Shapopad Ki Jai. So my humble obeisances to everybody in the audience at the temple here, also everybody online. I seek your blessings so that I can say something meaningful on today's topics and at the same time purify my heart and my speech. Just repeating the translation once again. Simultaneously, the personality of Godhead enjoyed life in the city of Dwaraka, strictly in conformity with the Vedic customs of society. He was situated in detachment and knowledge, as enunciated by the Sankhya system of philosophy. So let's look at the context first. So at the end of the first chapter, Vidura and Uddhava met, and Vidura asked Uddhava to glorify Krishna. So in chapter 2, which is entitled Remembrance of Krishna, Uddhava spoke about Krishna's activities, Krishna's beauty, how bewildering his activities were, his pastimes in Raj generally. In this third chapter, Uddhava is speaking about his pastimes outside Vrindavan, which is Mathura and Dwarka. So the third chapter begins with Uddhava speaking about the killing of Kamsa. And then he speaks about Krishna's education, his marriages to different queens, and also the begetting of his children. Then he speaks about the various demons. No, he doesn't speak about it. He speaks about killing of the various demons and also the Kurukshetra war. He explains how Maharaj Yudhishthira was established on the throne. Also explains how Uttara's womb was protected by Krishna from the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama. And in the verse yesterday, Antaranga Prabhu gave such a wonderful class. It is said, Maharaj Yudhishthira constantly following Krishna, the personality of Godhead, protected and enjoyed the earth, assisted by his younger brothers. So that's why today's realization starts simultaneously. So now he's comparing, whilst Yudhishthira Maharaj is enjoying this whole earth, because Yudhishthira Maharaj is the emperor of the whole earth. It's said in the Shastra, Sasagara. Sasagara means including the oceans. He ruled the whole world like that. So like I said, so simultaneously, Krishna is actually enjoying the entire universe. So this verse speaks about two of Krishna's six opulences. Anybody can say what they were, paying attention to the translation? Yes. Knowledge and detachment. Thank you so much. Yeah. So these are two of the six. What are the other four? Wealth, strength, beauty, and fame. Yeah, thank you. Yes. Prabhupada often quotes this wonderful verse. I think it's from the Vishnu Purana. Aishvarya Yashya Samagrashya Virashya Yashasya Shriya Jnana Varyagya Yoschaiva Sharanam Iti Bhagam Itingana. No, Sharanam Iti Bhaga Sharanam Bhaga Itingana. Yes. So yeah, wonderful verse reminding us of Krishna's total opulences. In this verse today, the word loka appears. Loka, what does loka generally be translated as? Anybody? Planet, planetary system. General populace as well, exactly, general people. But today, Prabhupada translates it as customary, which is unusual. I've never sort of heard loka translate customary. But they just proved to show that the Sanskrit language is so complex, and each word can have so many different meanings depending on context. And this is why when Prabhupada says, you know, stay away from translations of other people, especially scholars, because if they're not devotees, they will not have the insight, and they will translate things differently, and we'll end up getting completely different meanings. So I thought that was interesting. Another interesting word here was Dwarvatiyam. Dwarvatiyam. What was translation? How did Prabhupada translate that? Anybody remember? Oh, you got it there, right? City of Dwarka. So again, I had to look it up, because how come city of Dwarka is called Dwarvatiyam? Actually, it means in the city of Dwarka. But actually, I did some research and found that Dwarka is also known as Dwaravati. So that's another name of Dwarka, Dwaravati. So Dwaravati is Dwarka, and Dwarka and Dwaravati both have the same meaning. It's a city with gates, city with many gates, Dwara. So it's fine. So as we normally do, I'd like to go to the purport and try and sort of dive deeper into Prabhupada's purports. So first, Prabhupada begins by explaining that while Maharaj Yudhisthira was the emperor of the earth, Lord Krishna was the king of Dwarka and was known as Dwarkadish. Like other subordinate kings, he was under the regime of Maharaj Yudhisthira. So to just fall in terms of the custom of the time, Sri Krishna, although Sri Krishna, here is a Vishvatma, Vishva Atma, he is the soul of the universe, and he is the supreme proprietor of the entire universe, not just the entire universe, the entire material nature, all the universes. And yet, he is willing to be subordinate to Maharaj Yudhisthira, who was the emperor of the earth. So this basically explains how Krishna is renounced. He is the owner, controller of the entire universe, yet he is not attached to that position. So, yeah, he was willing to work under the regime of Yudhisthira. In the end of Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, Krishna says, Athava bahu naitena kim jnatena tavarjuna vishtabhyaham idam krishnam ekam shena stito jagat. He says to Arjuna, because this is after explaining all the wonderful opulences that Arjuna asked Krishna to explain. Krishna explained all these wonderful opulences. Then he says, what need is there, O Arjuna, of all this detailed information? With a single fragment of mind, I pervade and support the entire universe. So that's his position. After killing Kamsa, Krishna would have been totally in his right to say, right, okay, I am going to be the king now because I've defeated, I've killed this king. This is what generally happens, right? When a king goes and defeats another king, he would then take over the kingdom. So, of course, Krishna was very young at the time. But he could have said, no, I'm now the king. But no, he didn't. He actually he requested Ugrasena, released him from the prison, and requested Ugrasena to resume the position of king. So there, again, is his quality of renunciation. Continuing on the purport, Srila Prabhupada said, although Lord Krishna is a supreme emperor of the entire creation, while he was on this earth, he never violated the principles of the Vedic injunctions because they are the guide for human society. So, in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 16, there's a passage in the sort of chapter 21, 22, 23, where Krishna says, there are three gates leading to this hell, lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should give these up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. 22, he says, the man who has escaped these three gates, O son of Kunti, performs acts conducive to self-realization and thus gradually attains the supreme destination. And then 23, he says, Yashastra vidim ustritya vartate kama karata nasa siddhim avapnoti na sukham na paramgatim. He says, he who disregards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection, nor happiness, nor the supreme destination. So this is explaining what he's saying. He says he never violated the Vedic principles because the injunctions, because they are the guide for human life. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives beautiful step-by-step sort of information about it. He says, in the human form of life, a living entity is expected to be sane and to follow the regulations given for elevating his life to the highest platform. But if he does not follow them, then he degrades himself. Then he says, but even if he follows the rules and regulations and moral principles, but ultimately does not come to the stage of understanding the Supreme Lord, then all his knowledge is foiled. Then he says, but even if he accepts the existence of the Lord, and he does not engage in his devotional service of the Lord, then his attempts are spoiled. So you see, the whole thing is there. Right? Even if you know. And then he ends up by saying, therefore, one should gradually raise himself in a platform of Krishna consciousness and devotional service. It is only then that he can attain the highest perfection stage, not otherwise. So you see, many, many people you will meet, they will say to you, especially family members, you know, be careful, don't get too deep into it. You know, spending too much time at the temple, you know. Spend some time with the family. So this is the thing. Yeah, you know everything. Everything is there, yeah, but you don't need to. Yeah. They don't realize the importance of service. Here at the end it says, whatever you first of all, if you don't follow the Vedic principles, you degrade them. So if you follow them, but don't come to the understanding of Krishna, waste of time. If you understand Krishna, like most of our family, most of people coming from Indian background would say, yeah, we know everything. We know, you know, the Krishna Katha backwards. But if they don't engage in devotional service, then what's the use of that, all that knowledge? So, why did I put this verse down here? Yes, so in the first chapter, second chapter, Siddha Goswami also confirms this, that to satisfy Krishna, devotional service is the highest perfection. Ata pumbi dvija shrestha varnashrama vibhagasya svanutitasya dharmasya samsiddhir hari toshana. He says to the sages at Naimisharanya, he says, O best of the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own according to caste divisions and orders of life, is to please the personality of Godhead. How can we please the Supreme Personality of Godhead? By devotional service and by following the Vedic principles. Rupa Goswami in the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, he says, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidhim Vina Aikanteki Harer Bhakti Utpadyaiva Kalpate. He says, somebody may be following the Shruti, Smriti, Purana, the Pancharatra system properly, really focus on everything. But it'll just create disturbance. Somebody doing devotional service without following Purana and Puranas and Vedas, it will simply create disturbance if it's not done according to the principles. Further in the purport, Prabhupada says, regulated human life according to Vedic principles, which are based on the system of knowledge and Sankhya philosophy, is a real way of enjoyment in the necessities of life. So enjoyment, the impersonalists, Mayavadis, their philosophy is to negate all sense enjoyment. Stop your sense enjoyment and go and maybe meditate in the forest or whatever. But that, of course, Prabhupada explains right in the beginning in his philosophy, not possible. We are living beings, and trying to enjoy is our natural situation. How does it go? Anandamayo Vyasat. It says the spiritual world is anandamayo Vyasat. It's jubilant by nature. It's full of joy and fun. So because we come from the spiritual world, because Krishna himself is full of joy, we, of course, are seeking joy. But of course, we are looking for it in the wrong way. Prabhupada is emphasizing that the real enjoyment comes from Sankhya, following the Sankhya philosophy, basically following devotional service, as explained by Lord Kapila. Lord Kapila was, of course, an incarnation of the Lord himself. And in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a few chapters 25 to 33, where he's teaching his mother the philosophy. So Sankhya is both philosophy, is a system of metaphysics. So looking at the material elements, but also then eventually understanding the spiritual truth. That's the Sankhya philosophy. So without such knowledge and detachment and custom, so-called civilization is no more than animal society, Prabhupada says, of eat, drink, be merry and enjoy. So Prabhupada often quotes this beautiful verse from the Hitopanishad, which says, Ahara nidra bhaya maithunam cha samanam etat pashubinaranam. Dharmo hitesham adhiko vishesho dharma nahina pashubi samana. It says, Ahara nidra bhaya maithum. Ahar means eating. Nidra, sleeping. Bhaya, fearing, or defending rather. Maithunam, procreating. So these are samanam etat pashubi narana. So pashu, animals, nara, human beings. These things are common against all of us. Dharma hitesham adhiko vishesha. Dharma, religion, devotion is the only thing that separates us from the animals. Dharma nahina pashubi samana. So people who do not follow dharma are as good as animals. Purport then continues, the Lord was acting freely as he willed, yet by his practical example, he taught not to lead a life which goes against the principles of detachment and knowledge. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nandi ki jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gonitai ki jai, Jagat Guru Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Beautiful darshan today. Many times I notice that sometimes people are giving class and they're so deeply engaged in the class that the curtains open and they just continue, not even looking at the deities. Deities are giving us darshan. We need to pause and actually acknowledge them. So, yes, teaching by example, this particular part of the purport, Krishna is speaking about teaching by example. The Lord was acting freely, yet by his practical example, he taught not to lead a life which goes against the principles of detachment and knowledge. So again, there's in chapter 3, there's a passage, beautiful passage, where it talks about this principle, where it takes 3:20, it explains that kings such as Janaka attained perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating the people in general, you should perform your work, Krishna is telling Arjuna. Because here Arjuna is trying to sort of escape from fighting, right? Go to the forest and meditate. But he says, kings like Janak, that they were already Mahajanas. Janak is one of the Mahajanas. But he was doing his duty so that he can give example. And then the famous verse, text 21, Yadat acharati sreshtat tatat evetaro jana shayat pramanam kurute lokastat anuvartate. Whatever action a great man performs, the common man will follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, the whole world will pursue. So, and then 23rd and 24th, he will finish. He says, for if I ever fail to engage in carefully performing prescribed duties, O Partha, certainly all men would follow my path. And then he says, if I did not perform prescribed duties, all these words will be put to ruination. I would be the cause of creation of unwanted population. This Varnashankara. See, Arjun was saying in the first canto that if we have this war, there is going to be Varnashankara population. But Krishna is turning the tables here. He says, if you don't perform your duty, then Varnashankara. Well, if I didn't perform my duty, then you will be Varnashankara. Purport continues, attainment of knowledge and detachment are very elaborately discussed in Sankhya philosophy as a real perfection of life. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami again explains the sages and Amasharana process of attaining knowledge and detachment. How do we attain knowledge and detachment? Materially, knowledge has to be attained by utilizing our mental power, studying through different colleges and universities. But spiritual knowledge is within the heart and is revealed. And it's explained, Sutta Goswami says in the first canto, second chapter, text 7. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Parayojita Janati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayad Haitukam. Vasudeva Bhagavati, so to engage in the service of Vasudev, devotional service of Vasudev. Bhakti Yoga Prayojita, so Bhakti Yoga, the Bhakti automatically develops, Prayojita. Janayati Ashu Vairagyam, so what happens by Bhakti automatically, Janayati, automatically creates or gives birth To Asu. Asu means very quickly, very soon. Vairagyam, detachment, and Jnanam, knowledge. Ahaitukim, causeless mercy. This is causeless mercy of Krishna. So we know this beautiful story in the Padma Purana about Bhakti Devi, who is always accompanied by his two sons who are Jnana and Vairagya. The purport continues, fulfilling the demands of the body is animal life. Fulfilling the mission of the spirit soul is the human life. I think that's the end of the purport, isn't it? Yes. So, yeah, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Atmendra Priti Vancha Tare Bali Kam, Krishnendra Priti Icha Dare Premana. He says, this desire to gratify our own senses is Kam, but the desire to please the senses of Lord Krishna is Prema. And Lord Rishabhdev, during his instructions to his sons in the fifth canto, fifth chapter, for the very first verse, he says, Rishabh Uvacha, Nayam deho deha prajan nimloke, kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujamye, tapo divyam putrakaye nasatvam, sudyed yasma brahma saukhyam tvadantam. The Rishabh is saying in such a sense, my dear boys, of all the living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even to dogs and hogs that eat stew. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified. And when one attains this position, he attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. So this is the mission of human life, and in this text and purport, Krishna, and of course Srila Prabhupada with his purport, are reminding us of this very, very basic philosophy, the basic way of life for human beings. So we have a few minutes left, and today, of course, is the disappearance day of Sri Jaidev Goswami. So Jaidev Goswami appeared in the 12th century, 1141 or something like that. That's almost, about 300 years, over 300 years before the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He used to serve in the court of the king, Lakshmana Sen, in Bengal. Jaidev, his wife's name was Padmavati, and both of them were very, very pure, very, very staunch devotees of Lord Krishna. At some time, he then quit his position at the court of the king, and he left all the opulent life, and he lived very peacefully in a grass hut, it said, in a place called Champahati in Navdweep. So here, he compiled the famous Gita Govinda. So Gita Govinda is a compilation of wonderful verses expressing intense feeling of separation that Radharani feels just before the Rasa dance. It, of course, by describing that, it describes very, very intimate pastimes of Radha and Sri Krishna. So very, very elevated literature. It is said that one day, we were discussing this morning, just after the Mangalarti, before, it says one day that he was working on Gita Govinda, he inspired to write a particular thought that came to him. Of course, it was in those days, this was times before paper was invented, so he was writing on palm leaves. And he wanted, and in his mind, the thought came that I'll write down that Krishna bows down to touch the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. But as soon as he thought about that, he thought, how can I say that? Can I really write that? That's really demeaning Krishna's position, touching feet of Radharani. And he thought, okay, I'll take a break. You know, sometimes when we are doing something detailed, we think we get stuck and we're not sure. Okay, we'll take a break. Have a Kit Kat. Go for a walk or something, right? So like that, he went, he said, okay, it was almost lunchtime. So he went and he said, I'll take a bath. He says to his wife, Padmavati, I'm going to take a bath and then I'll have prasad after I come back. So he went and took a bath. So while he was away, Krishna, in the form of Jayadev Goswami, arrived. So his wife's thinking that husband's back. He said, okay, shall I put out the lunch? And he said, no, wait, I've got to do something. He goes, and on that palm leaf, he writes down. What does he write down? There's a Sanskrit term I wrote, but it's not here now. Where is it? Yeah, Dehi Pad Palam Udaram, which means mercifully bestow upon me. There's different translations given, but mercifully bestow upon me the soft petals of your lotus feet. Krishna is saying to Radharani. So that's happened. Then he had prasadam, and of course he left. And then the real Jayadev Goswami returns, and he says to his wife, "Is prasadam ready?" But you've already had prasadam. He says, "No, I haven't. Something strange is going on here." Then he goes to look at the palm leaves, and he sees this Sanskrit term written there. And he gets really excited. He goes to his wife and he says, you know, we have been so fortunate. Lord Krishna himself came here. Look, who wrote down this. I didn't write this down. He wrote this down. And not only that, he accepted prasadam from you. How fortunate are we? So, yeah, it's just amazing. The famous Dash Avatar Stotra apparently also appears in the Gita Govinda. We sing the Narsimha prayers daily. That's part of the Dashavatara Stotra. So Jayadev Goswami himself described the Gita Govinda as whatever is delightful in varieties of music, whatever is graceful in the strains of poetry, and whatever is exquisite in the sweet art of love, let the happy and wise learn from the songs of Jayadev. From Govinda, Gita Govinda. He introduced the daily reading of Gita Govinda in the temple of Jagannath Puri. His samadhi is in the 64 samadhis area. So during Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji's Gambhira Leela, Mahaprabhu used to, in Jagannath Puri, he used to ask his associates, Sarva Goswami and Mukunda, to read from Gita Govinda. He used to really relish that. So, Shri Jayadev Goswami ki jai. So, we'll end here. It's around 8:30. Any comments, any corrections, any questions? Yes, Prabhu. A microphone, please. Is there a mic here? Okay.
I don't have a question. I mean, just want to comment that I noticed that you have memorized even the English translation of so many verses by heart. So I've never seen that in ISKCON, so that's wonderful, very inspiring.
Thank you. Only a few of them. Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Just wondering, Jayadev, he was living in 12th century, you said.
Yes.
And Ishwara Puri, in our land, who was first exhibiting symptoms of love of God in Madhura Rasa? What is his name?
Madhavendra Puri.
So what time was he living on? This was before Jayadev?
No, it was after.
After? Because we see that Jayadev, he was really purely, he evoked his love of God even to the highest degree. And then he's mentioned in Bhagavatam that first symptoms of somebody who displays such a symptoms were that Madhavendra Puri. So kind of, but Jayadev was before he was into that.
Yes. So I mean, to be honest, it's speculation that he was before. I stand to be correct if it's not. But my understanding is that yes, this knowledge existed in the Gita Govinda, but it was kept very much hidden. People didn't discuss it so much because it is very, very esoteric, very, very deep philosophy. And the Brahmanas did not want the normal people to get into this because they would start misunderstanding Krishna and the usual thing, right? So that's why it was kept sort of hidden.
That means that Madhavendra Puri was the first one who started to propagate.
Exactly.
Others were just keeping...
Exactly. It was kept amongst very, very rare, very, very sort of very exalted devotees. And Madhavendra Puri then opened it up for all of us to hear.
I also question regarding others. It's something from yesterday which came to my mind when we see the merit of chanting of the holy name or studying Srimad Bhagavatam is far, far greater than Ashwamedha Yajna.
Yes.
I'm just wondering, I'm sure that Maharaj Yudhishthir knew that. Why would undergo such an impossible, inimaginable way to collect the wealth and tons of ghee? I'm just wondering, is it to make a show for others to impress upon them? Or he didn't know, or why Pandargo, if chanting is so potent, or it's just that merit of chanting or studying Bhagavatam is more individual, kind of gives you more spiritual benefit than all these yagyas.
So
in that way, you don't give so much impact on society. Like, for example, there's a few old books which Vaishnava society was accused that they are too much focused on their own renunciation, their own bhava, their own... They don't much do much contribution to society in general. So is that the reason why Yudhishthira kind of made this elaborate for the impression of people in general? In this kind of...
Thank you. Thank you for your question. Yes. See, yesterday, Antaranga Babu gave a wonderful class and he explained about this. So my understanding is this, that first of all, there's two things. First of all, Lord, it says in the Bhagavatam that Lord Krishna asked Yudhishthira to perform the Ashwamedha Yajna. So it was instructions for Lord Krishna. That's one thing that comes to mind. Krishna asked him to perform the Yajna.
That the Yudhishthira felt like morose and then he wanted, but I don't, is that really, from Krishna comes that impulse, yeah, do. Or he would just wanting to pacify him, okay, do this yajna.
Yes.
I'm just wondering, is it from Krishna comes?
I think very soon after that, very soon after pacifying him, Krishna actually, I remember reading somewhere, if I'm wrong, please correct me, that it's Krishna asks Yudhishthira to perform the yajna. Prabhu is nodding his head, so maybe he's also read it. So that's one thing. Second thing is that the part and parcel of, so once you are enthroned, so he was enthroned as the king, and actually it is part of the custom, because Krishna wanted him to be the emperor of the universe. For the king to be the emperor of the universe, he needs to subjugate all the other kings, to make sure that all of them are falling in line, and they're going to be all subordinate to him. So as Antaranga Babu explained so beautifully yesterday in his class, this whole system of all this, how the horses and the cavalry, they go from one kingdom to the other, saying with the flag, and they're saying, this is the flag of Yudhishthira Maharaj, either you agree to be subordinate to this flag right now, or you fight. In this way, he confirms his position as the emperor of the whole world. Otherwise, if he didn't do that, and then that is part of performing the, because once he does all that, he collects all the wealth and then performs the Ashwamedha Yajna, which is the confirmation that he is the emperor of the world. That is my understanding. Thank you. Any other comments? Have you want to add something to it or any corrections? Yes, Srivas Prabhu. Microphone, please. Microphone's closer to you, Prabhu.
Prabhu, said in the purport, Maharaj Yudhishthira is the emperor of the earth. Earthly planet or Bhumandala?
That's a good point. Yes, that's, it normally says planet. Usually when you read it, it always says planet is he's the emperor of earth. But I've also read in other places where it is explained that it's actually not just earth, actually the earthly kingdom, earthly planets. So Bhumandala then also. Yes. 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 Boom. Yes. 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 So there's different exactly. Jabudvip.
Which is central island
of the
Bhumandala.
Yes. Thank you, Tarun Prabhu. Yes. So Tarun Prabhu is confirming, just for people who didn't hear it, that we say earth, sometimes it's got many different meanings. Earth could be the whole earthly planetary system, the Bhumandala, and many, or the earth itself, Bharata Varsha, like that. So yes, but it confirmed that King Yudhishthira was emperor of the Bhumandala. Of Jambudvip, sorry, yes. Thank you. Srivas Prabhu?
So, Krishna's plans are hard to understand. So, when the Ashwamedh Yajna did happen, Shishupal was killed within that. And also, when Shishupal was killed, there was no contamination because Krishna did it in such a way that the blood didn't drop.
Yes.
So, that's another point to understand that if you take shelter of Krishna, then impurity goes away and purity comes in.
Wonderful point. Thank you so much, Srimad Prabhu. Srimad Prabhu. Okay, breakfast time. Shri Jaidev Goswami ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.